This is Glenn Coble, and this program is called On the Air. And as usual, the last Thursday of every month, we have one of my favorite people in this whole area, James Anderson, our Marion County naturalist. And I got to figure out which microphone you're on.
Hello.
Well, that might be one. I'm go ahead and talk to me.
Good morning.
Oh, that's it. That's the right one. All right. So, and I'm going to announce this right off the bat. If you have any questions for James, give us a call at 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I always forget to do that.
That's all right.
Well, you and I get talking and then I forget.
We do. We have a good old time.
Yeah, we do. Well, it is definitely full blast into spring.
Yes, or at least we hope so, right?
Yeah, it's a little chilly, but yes. It's supposed to warm up again. We're getting that up and down undulation, which we get quite often. Maybe not this much, though. 81 degrees one day and 43 degrees the next.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
What's that done to your snakes?
Well, on the warm days, they're really taking advantage, and then as soon as it starts dropping down, then they're trying to hide, under logs or in holes just to kind of conserve heat, and then once it gets warm again, they're like, oh, okay, it's time to come out.
Was it on your website, or did somebody send you a picture, or did I get sent a picture of a garter snake that looked like it was about 4 feet long?
Oh, yeah, that was on our site. It was just how the angle was.
I mean,
they don't get 4 feet. They can get at least a foot long.
It looked huge.
It did.
I said to my wife, I'm not going back out there to the tall grass trail.
No, we do have larger species of snakes, black rat snake, the milk snake, and the water snake. The water snake and milk snake, they can get at least 3 to 4 feet long. And the rat snake, they can get up to 7 feet long.
If I see one of those, you'll never see me again out there.
Now, I will tell you, for the milk snake and the rat snake, out by the Epsifield region, the 3 mile area, that's where we typically find them. It's a little bit more wooded.
Yeah.
And then the water snake, of course, you'll find around the lake and at the second bridge.
You don't have water moccasins, though, do you?
No. Water moccasins are not very common in Ohio. They're a very small population, and that's more clear in southern Ohio.
Yeah, they prefer the warmer water, don't they?
Yes.
My sister was bitten by a water moccasin
when
she was at a summer camp down south.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't really hurt her too bad. They gave her anti-venom or whatever they do, and she got nauseated a little bit, and then that was it. She had no pains or anything like that. So,
well, that's good.
But they must have got, they, I think, probably the camp probably had that venom available, knowing full well they warned her parents that there were water moccasins there. So anyway, I'm not going to any of those camps. If you have aggressive garter snakes, I'm not going to those camps either. Well, I got to see some wild fauna this last week, 2 weeks ago when I was out in California. And I put up a picture on our advertisement for the show today of that bird of paradise. And
oh, boy, yeah, they're beautiful, aren't they?
They were in full glory while we were out there. But it's interesting. They get lots of hummingbirds coming.
Oh, yeah.
And you were telling me off the air that California has a lot of hummingbirds or different species.
Yeah, they have a lot more different species than we do have in Ohio. We only have the ruby-throated.
Right.
I forget. I think they have at least 10, 12 different species of hummingbirds out in California. Especially, you know, the more west you go, and especially like Arizona, there's a lot more variety. New Mexico.
Are they a warm weather bird? Is that what it is?
Well, that, and just there's a lot of more diversity of, like, you know, cacti, cactus, and a lot of hummingbirds are attracted to that. And of course, ruby-throated, it's not as much because, you know, not many cactus species in Ohio.
Not a lot. There are some, though.
We have one. We have one cactus species.
What is it called?
It's called a prickly pear.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of a prickly. People eat that, don't they?
Yeah, now that's a different kind.
Oh, okay.
Yes, now this is an actual wild species that we do have in clear southern Ohio, Adams County. There's a very small population of them.
It's called a population?
Yeah, a little group population.
Okay. I always think of population having to do with humans, but...
You can include that in plants and animals and living organisms.
I guess that's true. Well, anyway, it was beautiful out there.
Oh, I bet.
I told you before we came on, my son said to me, you won't believe what the vineyard looks like by the time you leave. Now, we were only out there 8 or 9 days, and when we got there, the leaves were maybe touching on an inch across. By the time they were about knee high, the plants. Actually, they trim them so that they're always going to be about a knee high.
Yeah.
But they send up these other shoots straight up.
Okay.
And by the time we left, those shoots were up and it was more than waist high. And the leaves were 3 or 4 inches across. So the growing time was perfect for them out there.
Oh, I bet.
Got to watch that, and I got to sit on the front porch and occasionally have a little bit of wine from there. And their wine is very cheap for me. It's free.
Yeah, can't be bad.
I am mad at my son, though. Usually he sends me back a case when I come home. Well, we forgot to ask, so we didn't get the case. But they did send us a quarter of a case at Christmas time, so we have some wine.
There you go.
We don't drink much wine anyway. Unless it says Bud Light on the outside, like, I probably won't touch it. So. Anyway, so you brought in some fauna.
I did.
Flora for us.
Some flora, yes.
Yes,
flora.
And tell us about that. It's kind of worse for wear right now. You've been beating the heck out of it.
Yeah, I got this from my garden this morning.
Uh-huh.
So this is Spring Beauty. Actually, another fun nickname is called Fairy Spud, and I'll kind of explain that here in a little bit why they call it that. But this is a very common wildflower species you can find here in the state of Ohio.
Can you hold up the bloom a little bit?
Yeah.
Lift it so that I can see. Yeah, it looks a little different when you hold it up. It's kind of, it's probably half an inch across and 4 or 5 petals white. Yeah,
so it's got a white background, it's got pink stripes that go down. That's a great way to identify it. And a lot of people don't like them because, yes, they grow in forests, but they also can grow in your lawn. A lot of people consider them as a weed because a lot of times they'll grow next to dandelions and violets and all. And, you know, this is a very important nectar-bearing plant our pollinators, especially our bees, our wasps, our butterflies, our and other species. But a lot of people, when they're thinking about, like, the bees, they're saying, oh, the dandelions. Yes, don't get me wrong, the dandelions do provide some nectar for bees, but we got to remember dandelions are not native to Ohio.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they are from Europe, and when the pioneers came over here and when they released their pots, a lot of things were introduced. Dandelions was one of them. So they have been here for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And the thing is they're not really, I mean, in some areas I guess you can call it invasive, but they can get very aggressive. And a lot of times they kick out things like Spring Beauty and common blue violets, which are native to the area. And
Oh, I love the violets that are up.
Right oh, now. Yes. They're now, beautiful. Now, these guys are actually going to provide, you know, more nectar. They're going to be more beneficial to our local pollinators than a dandelion.
How do you know they provide more nectar?
Well, I mean, that's
just... You read.
Yes, I read. Yes, that scientists say. Now, I will say that, you know... I mean, I know the dandelion looks bigger. Now, it's kind of like Kool-Aid, like I tell kids. Yeah, it tastes good, but is it really good for you? So it provides some nutrition, but just not enough nutrition. But the native plants, you know, they're going to provide a lot of nutrition for those local pollinators.
Well, you can see where a local pollinator or any pollinator could get into the nectar and that. Whereas on a dandelion, it might be a little difficult to get down into
where the stamina are. And you know, while we're kind of talking about that, you know, different plants, some can be pollinated by all kinds of things, or what's called generalists, and there are some things are that have to be very specific. And Spring Beauty is actually like that. There is actually only one particular species of wasps called the anadrid wasp, and it can only pollinate it. Now, I know it's hard.
It's the only thing that pollinates it?
Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. Things can jump on from flower to flower.
And accidentally pollinate.
Yeah, an accident. But the special wasp is the only one that can truly pollinate it.
Huh.
Now, I know it's kind of hard to see, but you're going to notice it actually has pink pollen. So it's one of the very few, actually here. Right here where my finger is, there's a pink pollen.
Yeah.
Yep. It's one of the very few wildflowers we have here in Ohio that produce pink pollen. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Now, I tell people that, you know, if you have them in your lawn, you know, if you can, leave them alone. Now, obviously, I know it's mowing season. And, I mean, yes, you can mow, don't mow them, but I know that can look patchy. So what they do recommend, put your deck up high if you're using a push mower or riding mower, and is just mow slow. They are pretty tough little guys, and a lot of times they do make it. But if you keep mowing and mowing over them, eventually, you know, it is going to stress them out.
Well, my neighbors probably don't like me because since I've been talking to you, and also I've had an interest in nature for a long time, I've decided not to. I used to weed and feed, which would get rid of the dandelions. We've decided to let the dandelions grow and all the crazy flowers that we get in our yard grow. Now, we do mow, but I mow fairly high, and I don't get aggressive. Matter of fact, we don't use any chemicals on our
yard. Good.
So I know my neighbors probably think I'm crazy because I don't mind the dandelions or the wildflowers. I love the violets, and we get lots of violets for some reason or other.
And they're, again, very important for our local wildlife. Now, here's also a fun fact while we've been talking about pollinators.
Yeah.
They actually are edible, and all the parts are edible of this plant. You can eat the leaves, you can eat the stalk, the flowers, but the best part is the tubers. Or was just part of the root. So it's kind of like a potato.
Must be very tiny.
Yes, they are very, very tiny.
Yeah.
And you can eat them raw. I will admit they do have more of a horseradishy taste to them if you do that.
A little bite.
Yeah, but of course if you fry them, cook them, you know, they have more of a chestnut flavor. But you can put them in stews, you can put them in salads, you can put them in casserole, you can mash them. And they actually have a lot of vitamin A, C, potassium, and calcium.
Does anybody grow those for that sort
of thing? Yeah, there are quite a few people that will try to purposely grow and, use it as their main food source.
Oh, that's kind of
cool. But as you mentioned, yes, because how small they are, it is going to take quite a bit.
Yeah, you're going to have an acre of those things to get one meal, I think.
That's just about right.
They're tiny, but that's kind of neat to know. Now, if I ever get stuck out in the wilderness and I can see that and I have no food, I just dig those up and eat their roots.
Yep, and again, you can eat the leaves. Now, I will admit, right now, because they're very mature, they're going to be more bitter, but the younger they are, a little bit more tender, a little bit more sweet.
How can you tell it's older?
Just size. Overall, this is a pretty good-sized plant. Now, when they're, like, first coming out, they're going to be very sweet. They're gonna taste a little bit better.
That's something I've learned. You know, at an old age, I've learned an awful lot about plants because I bought grow lights and I do stuff in my basement. And I just planted some bean sprouts. Well, actually beans.
Oh yeah,
which have sprouts, and my sprouts have come up, and I found out the same thing is true with those. If you wait until they're really tall, they're a little bit more bitter.
Yeah.
Or a little bit more not bitter, but more flavorful.
Yeah.
But we like the fresher, the new, earlier ones better. But that's also true with lettuce. If you let lettuce go, it gets really bitter. And you got to get the lettuce chopped off when it's pretty small. So,
yeah. Wild Ramp or Leck is like that, too.
Yeah. Now, is there Wild Ramp around here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I wish I could identify it, because it's a long leaf, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very long, very waxy. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of wide at the base, but then as you get to the tip, it does kind of narrow off.
I'm told it's excellent for salads.
Oh, yeah. You can eat it raw. Yeah, and anything, when you dig up the bulb, you can use that. Anything that calls for garlic, you could substitute it. It's and like you were talking about, you know, the younger it is, it's you know, it is very bitey, but then as it gets older, it really loses that flavor. So right now we're kind of in that time. Yeah, there are some that are still good, but as we get into about middle May, then most of them are going to be gone for the most part.
Well, my garlic is going nuts in my yard.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I've never had it grow so tall this early. I'm not sure that you want it growing tall, because the bulb is what you want to get big.
Yes.
Yeah. But we're going to find out here when it's time to harvest. It's way before time to harvest so far. But I'm really getting into all this stuff. Now, I have not seen my skunk. Do they go someplace when it gets warmer? Or?
So, I mean, they are traveling out and about. I mean, remember back when you were telling me that was during the breeding season? So
it
that's
was cold and it was breeding. Yeah,
yeah,
breeding,
so that's why they were more abundant. But, yeah, I mean, they could still be hiding under your deck. They still could be high. But they may have found a new location, you know, find food and water.
My executive producer has been out sniffing around, and Buddy seems to think there's still some critter underneath that arborvitae that we have running along the side of the house, because he wants to go there immediately, and I drag him away, because we don't really want to have a confrontation with a skunk.
Yes.
So. I have not seen, usually by now I've seen at least one raccoon in the neighborhood.
Oh, they're around.
And I haven't seen any. So it's just, it's just because.
Just hit and miss.
Hit and miss, yeah. Now, I know we do have some opossums in the area, and I have seen one opossum which was unfortunately dispatched by a dog.
Oh, yes.
But I haven't seen any live possums in our area, but I have had deer tracks again.
Okay.
I think I told you last time we had it, and it's a big pile of doo-doo, and they're little, I'd say, half-inch long pellets.
Yeah.
And I'm sure no mouse could do that.
No.
And I mean, no squirrel could do that much, and surely no bunny can do that much. Bunny poop is a lot like it, but it's smaller.
Yes.
Yeah.
And plus, bunnies is more like a more circular, more rounded.
Okay.
Versus deer can be more oblong.
Yeah, the ones that we saw were oblong, yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it was a deer, because I don't think there's any other animal, unless it was... No, you've shown me coyote's cat, and it doesn't look anything like that.
Look for the tip. Dogs make a tip.
Oh, yeah?
And at the end of their scat, yeah.
That's interesting. Yes, that's right. I'm going to tell Buddy to... Making the tip.
Yeah, make the tip, yeah.
So are we getting a lot of critters out on the tall grass trail now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, critters are always out all the time.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
But yes, I mean, reptiles, amphibians are definitely increasing. Migratory warblers and other songbirds are migrating through some of our local...
Geese?
Oh, yes, geese, yep.
They're going crazy over our skies here in Marion.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was just telling Glenn off the air, this is the time they are having their babies.
Yeah.
So, especially there around tribe rivers.
Stay away from them. Let them have their babies.
Yes, they are very aggressive.
And they're not real smart.
Not really.
They don't know much about traffic.
No.
And they don't care that you have a 4,000-pound vehicle bearing down on them.
Nope.
They will stand right there.
They think they have the right-of-way, yes, for sure. It's funny about geese.
I was pulling out of Menards the other 2 days ago, and this goose was walking across the driveway to get out of Menards, and it looked at me, and it stopped. And I thought, you dumb goose, I could kill you.
Yeah.
And he just stopped, so I opened the door, and he kind of came toward me. So I closed the door, and he went on.
Oh, okay.
Thank goodness. He joined two others.
I get you.
I guess opening the door and challenging them was not the right thing to do.
Yeah. Sometimes making yourself look bigger sometimes can work, but if they're so habituated to people, then they're like, I don't care. You're not going to hurt me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there are, what, maybe 100 that flock to that area?
Probably a little less, but yeah, a large number. Yeah.
A huge number. Yeah. And ducks there, too.
Oh, yeah. A lot of mallards.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen as many ducks this year.
You know why? Because the geese push them.
Get them out of there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's because they're all competing for the same habitat, same food, same water.
Now, the geese will move on. The ducks will stay, won't they?
It depends. I mean, sometimes the ducks may stay, but the ducks may move on if they, you know, can't find food or what.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not as migratory as the geese, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the ones that you raise, and if you view where even the mallards, there's domestic mallards, those are the ones that typically stay all the time. But then, like, the really wild mallards, I mean, they'll stay for a little bit, and then they'll go.
Now, are they having babies now, too, like the geese?
Yeah, a lot of our
eggs.
Yeah, a lot of our waterfowl. Yep, a lot of our ducks are having, or at least nesting right now, or will be having babies here very shortly.
Now, if you have a goose that or a duck that's nested in your backyard,
yes,
and you see an egg, what do you do?
So it's funny you mentioned that. So I was telling Glenn off the air, and actually something I forgot to tell you. Apparently, Grant Middle School is having the same issue right now with a duck. So they called me. I think it was last week. They messaged me on Facebook, and then I called them. But I guess they have this mallard female that is nesting right by their door. Of course, they're all freaking out and all. And I said, well, if she's already established eggs, I said, you know, legally you can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Because once they do that, they're protected.
Okay.
And same with the Canada geese. I was telling Glenn too. There was the River Valley River Valley track coach was telling me there's a goose nesting in their track field, and it was getting a little aggressive. You know, when the runners were coming by, it was just doing its thing, like, hey, stay away from my area. And I found out it had eggs, and again, I told that person the same thing. And so what I recommend for both is put up a snow fence, so it makes them feel a little bit more secure.
Now, if the snow fence is there, how does the mommy get in and out?
So you can leave one side open. Yeah, side one open. But it's funny, at Red Robins down there in Polaris, they put it all the way around. And what I imagine, she flew out, and then the babies just went through the hole.
Oh, no.
So, but it was gone, so it must have been successful. But it's funny that
you didn't see feathers on the ground.
No,
okay.
So it's funny because the guy that I called from River Valley, he said, well, hey, there's no water around. Why are they nesting in our track field? Well, I said, for probably a couple reasons. I said, the first reason, because they said they probably got pushed out there around Menards and Tri Rivers because all of those other geese were nesting because they're all very territorial and they don't want to share the same area. So I said they push away, but I said geese and mallards, they have actually become very adaptable, and they have actually been able to nest and be sometimes successful in gardens and just fields without being next to water, because that's why they were baffled. They were like, well, that's not next to water. Why are they doing that? And I said, again, they're adapting.
Why would they even need the water other than to drink?
Well, it's just
I mean, they're normal.
In their nature, you know, being a waterfowl, you know, you need to be around water because if a predator is around, guess what you're going to do?
Get in the
water. You're going to walk or fly really fast.
I got you. Okay.
But if there's not enough water sources and all these other waterfowl are competing against it, they're pushing you out, well, you got to change. What? You got to make a, you know, adapt to your environment.
I'm guessing with a lot of children around or young adults around, the predators are not going to be around, so that kind of protects them.
Yeah, and to a degree it does, yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know that I've ever had a goose in my nest in my yard. Now, I assume they must be ground nesters, both of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Most waterfowl are. We do have some that do up in trees.
Okay.
Wood ducks, some gansers, some buffleheads We'll do that.
Bufflehead?
Yeah, bufflehead.
I like the name. What is that? Is that a...
It's our smallest, our smallest diving duck in North America.
Buffle.
I'll have to show you a picture when we get on break. Yeah.
Okay.
And it has pink feet.
Pink feet?
Yeah, pink feet.
Are they all girls?
Nah.
Do the boys make fun of them?
I guess.
I don't know. What a terrible thing. I used to wear pink shirts and people would make fun of me for wearing a pink shirt.
Well, remember, real men wear pink, Glenn.
Yeah, well.
Remember that motto in the 2000s? I remember
yes,
that.
And I had a secretary or somebody, somebody came up to me and told me, tell them it's salmon. It's not pink. So that's what I did.
Oh, boy.
From then on, it was salmon. Girls wear pink. I wear salmon. Okay. What a sexist thing to talk about. All right. Where was I going to go with this? I guess I don't know where I was going to go. We've talked about the snakes. I bet your turtles are starting to show up, aren't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're at the second bridge. They're basking on the logs. Yeah. Snapping turtles. They'll be laying eggs here shortly on the trail.
Now, do you ever see them?
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a snapping turtle.
I'll tell you, the best place to find them is around the lake, and then around the between 3 and 5 mile marker. So about Epsifil region, you usually.
Why would they be out there? That's a little more wooded out there.
So there's a creek that runs by, and I don't know what's the name of the creek, but there's something about it that these snapping turtles come out of it, and they'll bury their eggs there. Now, the problem is when they bury their eggs at Tallgrass Trail there and where the old railroad used to be, see, that was a hard material.
Yeah.
And see, most turtles can dig at least, 3 feet down. But that hard bedrock material, they can only dig about a foot or so. So it leaves their eggs very open to predation. So
yeah.
Things like raccoons, opossums, snakes, minks will take advantage. And also, too, it won't stay warm enough. And so it won't incubate as well.
Now, have you started to see any minks out there?
Oh, yeah. We're usually minks all the time.
Is that right? I've never seen a mink wild either.
Really?
No.
I'll tell you, the second bridge is always the best place to find them.
Second bridge, okay.
Right there before her road, because you know why?
Why?
Because one of their favorite foods are out there, and guess what's one of their favorite foods?
That thing that you brought in today?
No. Muskrats.
Oh, really?
They love eating muskrats.
I didn't know they were carnivores.
Yes. Oh. All weasels are. And there are carnivores.
Okay.
Remember, we talked about that a few months ago.
I guess we did, didn't we?
I know, that was wild.
Oh, well. I haven't been out to the trail yet this year.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, boy.
Now, my wife and I did drive by once, and we pulled into your parking lot.
Oh, okay.
And got out of the car, and it was too cold.
So I get you.
We went back in.
Well, hopefully a warm-up for you.
And then the rest of the time we've been in California. So,
yeah.
But we'll get out there soon.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. We do enjoy the trail.
Yeah.
My wife is kind of a solitary person, doesn't like to be around other people.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect place for the two of us to walk and talk.
Yeah. What I recommend, because I was familiar, that first mile, it is a little bit more traffic, people walking. If you wanted to be kind of more by yourself, I recommend parking either at the lake, there off her road.
Yeah.
Or you could park there at the 203 wildlife area, right up State Route 203.
Okay.
It's part of Big Island.
Been there.
Then the Epsifil Baptist Church on Epsifil Road.
Yeah.
You park there, it's only a quarter mile to the trail.
Okay.
And then D Cliff, which is our furthest parking lot.
Oh, okay.
It's outside of LaRue.
Okay, well, my wife is not opposed to having people around.
I get you. There are some people that tell me that they really want me by themselves. So.
Yeah, no, she doesn't care. She likes to people watch. That's one of the neat things about going to the trail.
Well, yes. Well, the trailhead.
As long as they don't bother her.
Yes. The trailhead's a really good place to do some people watching.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And
you see all walks of life.
Now, how often do you have programs at the trailhead?
So in the summertime, we're going to definitely have more.
Yeah.
But then wintertime, it's only about once a week or every other week because obviously it's really slow and cold. And but yeah, we're starting to increase. We'll start doing our preschool program starting in June. We got an intern, so
oh,
I know
good.
I was going to announce that towards the end, but he's going to start at the end of May, early June. So
where does he come from?
So he's a local. He's a kid. He's 17 years old. His name is Jonah Bodel. I probably pronounced that last name wrong. He was the young man that, if you remember when somebody dropped off chickens.
Yeah.
The Tallgrass Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that came and picked them up. And then that's how we started our relationship. And then he did a program for us. It's called Jonah and Friends, where he brought it. He raises reptiles. Uh-huh. And he did.
So he's really weird.
No, he's a good kid. He's very intelligent for his age. He's actually about to have his associate's degree, and he's almost, you know, 17. I was like, wow, I wish I was like that.
Yeah, I wish I was too.
And he, yeah, he's going to go into zoology once he graduates.
Okay.
So I think by next year. He's only a junior, so.
Are you able to give him any sort of remuneration for this, or is it just kind of a volunteer thing?
No, it will be. Yeah, it's a paid position.
Oh, good. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. That's the way you get people. Yes. They like to be paid. Well, excellent. So is he going to have hours at the trailhead?
Yeah, or? Yeah. So we'll definitely discuss that probably next month or so.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm really excited. And probably either, I don't think next month or at least in June or what, I'll probably bring him on here.
Okay,
and,
that would be great.
You'll get to meet Jonah. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. Now, I'm really glad to hear that you have that.
Because yes, it was not looking good for a while because obviously, you know, with everything going on. And,
yeah.
And but yeah, we had a couple candidates, and yeah, he seemed to be the best fit. So we're really excited for him to jump on board.
Excellent. Does he have any hopes to go? Well, I assume he's going to go on to college.
Yes.
Do you know where he's going to go?
I don't know. Since he's just a junior.
I assume he's been going to either Marion Tech or OSUM.
Yes, to get those those credits. I think one of those schools he has.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, fantastic. That's cool. Is he as good with plants and stuff as he apparently is with critters?
So it seems like reptiles and some poultry is his specialty. But hopefully in the summer, I'll teach him a thing or two, you know, about wildflowers and other wildlife species and things like that.
Is he a farm boy?
A little bit, yeah. He's okay. In 4-H.
Okay.
He does poultry a lot. I think poultry and goats. He does pheasants. He raises pheasants.
Now, as you know, I used to buy at the sale of champions for the 4-H.
Oh, yes. I remember you telling me
and
that.
I am so impressed with those kids.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are, and I know their parents could tell us some really bad tales about some of them, but they are so well versed in their animals, and they're so well behaved. Even not while they're showing their critter. If you go out and talk to them when they're outside, they're very well behaved and seem to be. I don't know what it is about farm kids, but they seem to have a pretty good grasp of life.
Yeah. I was one of those kids many years ago.
You were a farm kid.
I was.
Where were you brought up?
Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, we kind of grew up all over, but a good chunk of my early childhood was in southern Delaware County, so around the Polaris region.
Okay.
All before that was developed.
Yeah, before it was there.
Yeah. And but then it was starting to, that development was creeping and creeping over, so we had to get out, and we I graduated from Richwood, from North Union.
Okay.
And so that's kind of my agricultural background.
North Union, really good football, I believe. I'm not
maybe now, but when I was, it wasn't.
They weren't that good. Okay. Well,
it's just north of Marysville. So.
Yeah. I have not been into the high school football for a long time.
So okay.
I don't know whether they're any good or not. Okay, now, are there plants that we should stay away from?
Oh, yeah, there's always all kinds.
Well, everybody knows poison ivy. Yeah. Everybody knows poison sumac, except there is poison sumac, and then there is sumac, which is not poisonous.
Yes,
at all.
We have a lot of other species of sumac, which are actually edible.
Yeah, and the red one.
Well, most of them are red.
But you told me that it was not dangerous to me.
No.
What's the one that's...
That you're going to primarily find, like at Tallgrass Trail, those are called staghorn sumacs.
Yeah, okay. And they're okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's common, there's wing, there's fragrant sumac, there's wing sumac, so yeah.
So what are the bad ones? What do I look for?
So the ones here would be the poison sumac. And luckily one of the big differences is its color and berry arrangement. So its berries are white, and it kind of it droops.
Okay, stay away from the white-berried sumac.
Yeah, and then the first is like the staghorn sumac, and most of the other sumacs, they kind of, it looks like a cone. They produce kind of like these red cones that kind of eject up. So
yeah. But now, are the berries on staghorn, are they red?
Yeah, those are red.
So
yeah,
red is good, and white is not so good.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Now, what type of critters that are starting to come out should we stay away from?
Well, around here, probably the Mosaga, the pygmy rattlesnake.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, we do not have them at Tallgrass Trail, but if you're in the northern part of the county, especially out by Morrill, the closer you are, the killdeer, Plains Wildlife Area.
What draws them out there?
It's the habitat.
Oh, okay.
Killdeer Plains is a very unique place in the state of Ohio. It has a
Tell us about it.
So between Killdeer and Big Island, they're kind of the same. They're kind of have a prairie pothole region, so it means you got places that have grasses and forbs and wetland areas, and that's just the kind of mixed habitat that Mosagas prefer.
Huh.
And that's what Marion County, we were a prairie region, at least the western half of the county was. So yes, there were probably Mosagas in what we'd call downtown Marion a long time ago. I know bisons were here a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah, and of course, when the white man came, we drove them out because our overall goal was we were wanting to get rid of the Native American or the indigenous people.
Yeah.
And we thought, you know, if you get rid of the bison, then they go along as well. Because they highly depend on the bison for their livelihood.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And we did kill a lot of bison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The government, our federal government would pay people on purpose just to kill bisons by the hundreds.
And leave them to rot. And,
yeah,
the
leave
ground.
Them to rot. Yep. That, not even crazy. Do anything with them.
That is crazy, isn't it? Anyway.
Some of our history, yes.
Yes, we have a lot of questionable history.
Yes, questionable history. That's a good way to put it.
Well, what would you suggest people get ready for when they're coming out to... Are there, you know, types of clothing that's better than other types of clothing?
Yeah, so while we're talking about critters and you're talking about clothing, I'll admit, ticks. Ticks are slowly coming back. So I would highly recommend, you know, that you wear kind of bright clothing.
Whites or yellows or something?
Yeah, because...
You can see the
tone. Yes, yeah, okay. Because even like my uniform being a darker color, they are. They're very hard to find.
Yeah.
But definitely wear, if you are going especially anywhere that has tall prairie, tall grass, you know, wearing, you know, socks that, you know, go up to your ankles or past your ankles.
Yeah.
That can really help you out.
I'll remember that. Because most of my socks just go to my ankles.
Now, I do want to mention that we have different species of ticks, and different species of ticks like different areas. So some like it only in the kind of grassy areas, and then there's some that like at forest edges. And, of course, you can be, you know, Tallgrass Trail is a great example. It's got mixed habitat, so you can come across two different species of ticks.
Now, they're, if I recall correctly, they have six legs, right?
Yes.
And they're kind of a... very
or excuse
small.
Me, eight legs, sorry.
Oh, they're they have eight legs.
Yeah, they're arachnid.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay. Eight legs, and they're kind of roundish, aren't they?
Yes.
Little and round.
Yes.
Until they fill up with, gorge
the,
up with blood.
Yeah, with the female. Yeah, the males. And the males will drink a little blood, but the females are the ones that will engorf themselves and, I mean, will increase their size quite larger.
And if you're going to take your dogs out on the trail, I imagine you should check them as soon as you're done.
Yes.
Because they love hiding in the... hair, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oof.
So, and you know, and I always hate when people will come out and they'll say, oh, I found a tick on me, and they need to spray them. You know, our goal is, you know, we want people to enjoy nature, but, you know, if we go out and we spray them, you know, then we're damaging other wildlife. So, you know, it's a mixed balance. I mean, yes, I know, unfortunately, ticks are not good. I mean, to us.
They're fine for nature.
But, there are other animals that, that do like eating ticks. You know, opossums, snakes, other insects will eat ticks.
Huh.
So they are part of our natural world.
Yeah, sure.
But I know they can be dangerous because they bring diseases.
Well, we used to spray a lot for mosquitoes.
Yes.
And we eventually started to kill all our bees off.
Or, and other things.
Yeah. So, nature has its own way of getting even with us.
Yes, very true. Nature will always outsmart us.
Yeah. I think it was George Carlin, he said, someday Mother Nature's just going to shake us all off like a bad case of dandruff.
Yes. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, because nature's designed it that way for a purpose. Yeah. Designed ticks, even though we don't like them. Snakes, even though I don't like them. So I leave all that stuff alone. If you see a critter, let it go. I mean, yeah, there are some critters that get into your house you don't want in your house, like ants. Or we have a little, what are they called? Little, they live in flour. Little flying things.
There's gnats.
These aren't gnats. There's a name for it, but anyway, we do kill those, unfortunately. And if I see an ant walking across on a pavement, I avoid him, because even those little guys, you know, if we start killing them all, we're going to pay for it.
Yes,
eventually.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know that's. One little ant's not going to make a difference, but make it part of your nature not to kill things, I think. Now, my wife and I are seriously considering going vegan, because we don't really like the idea of having all that. We drove past pen after pen of steer on the way to California, and it made us both think long and hard. What those poor steer, they're just standing there, shoulder to shoulder, waiting to have their throats cut, you know, or whatever they do now. And so we're thinking about it. We do like our steaks and our hamburger, and our pork chops. But anyway, that's another. And then they drive by you, and you look at them looking out of the trailer of the truck, and it makes you feel bad for them. Oh well. That's another story. We've got to face that on our own. Yeah. I assume you are not vegan.
I am not.
No. I think, you know, mankind is not vegan, right? We're omnivorous.
Yeah, we are.
Whatever is it?
Yeah, omnivores. I'm omnivorous. Yeah.
So, when we were growing up as cavemen, we went out and killed things to eat.
Yeah.
And so, I guess that's part of protein. It's part of nature. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We just kind of turned it into an industry that keeps on rolling. What am I thinking? Anyway, let's get off of killing poor pigs and now, did you ever? Were you a member of 4-H?
Yes, I 4-H and FFA.
Did you ever have to take a critter to be slaughtered?
Yes. Yep.
How did you feel about that?
So when I was young, if my mom and dad are listening, they would probably tell you I bawled my eyes out. because I mean, I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as I got older, it got easier and easier.
Yeah. Now, did you ever give them your critters, did you give them names?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
They all had names.
Gosh. No wonder you cried.
I did. Well, you know, and I mean, we had these animals for almost a year or a little less than a year. Yeah. You did get attached to them.
Yeah.
Because not only, I mean, you fed and watered them, but you had to lead them. You had to, you know, give them baths. You had to do all kinds of things. So you really did get attached to the animals.
Yeah, I don't see how you could not get attached to a critter that you're taking care of like that.
Yeah.
And I think I've told the story about the little boy that came up to me after I got his, I won the auction for his, was it ducks? Yeah, it was his ducks. And he came up to me almost in tears and asked me what I wanted to do with them. And I said, I want you to put them back out on your pond. And he blossomed. He was so happy that he wasn't going to have to kill them. Anyway, well, we're down to our last few seconds, and we will be back here. You're listening to On the Air with James Anderson. Phone number here is 740-383-9944. I forgot to tell you during the show. when we come back after our break, we'll talk more about flora and fauna here in the county of Marion and all the things that are going on out there at the Tallgrass Trail. So hang with us, and we'll be right back after about a 15-minute break, and we'll be talking about more things going on with the the nature in our county.
You're listening to WWTH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his role of Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler